This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, April 2, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. For many of those addicted to or dependent on opiates, heroin-assisted treatment works. That's according to Scott McDonald, the lead physician at the Providence Crosstown Clinic in Vancouver, Canada. He argues that safe access to heroin can stem large societal costs like death and violent crime. We spoke during the Cato Institute's Harm Reduction Conference last month.
Prescription heroin is a treatment for a manageable illness, opioid use disorder, and no different than diabetes or high blood pressure. No treatment will work for everybody, and some people will require a more intensive treatment. And we are fortunate that we have the full spectrum of tools available in Vancouver, Canada. And that includes Suboxone, Methadone, Cadian, a long-acting oral form of morphine. But there are some folks that just require something more, and a small percentage of people, and that may be less than 4 to 8% of the total number that require oral opioid agonist treatment for their disease. But some people will require an injectable option. Prescription heroin needs to be one of the tools in the toolkit, and a small number of people are receiving that today in Vancouver, Canada.
Is it fair to call this heroin maintenance?
It's fair, but that's as fair as it is to call Suboxone or Methadone maintenance for opioid use disorder. This really is just a chronic, manageable illness. Heroin-assisted treatment, diamorphine, is just one of the tools to manage that illness. And the people that have this illness, if they're not engaged in care, are at huge risk, both for irreparable harm and death, but they need to engage in activities that put them at risk and are hugely costly to society. The cost of somebody annually using illicit heroin or opioids is at least $45,000 a year. And that's from a Toronto study in the year 2000. If somebody was able to do a socioeconomic analysis again, I'm sure it would be much higher. We can provide this treatment for about $25,000 to $27,000 a year.
Tell me about the kind of people who make use of your clinic and clinics in the area in Vancouver.
I can tell you a little bit about what our intake criteria was in our Salome study. We selected folks who, on average, had been using for 15 years and had had at least 11 attempts at treatment. Our intake criteria was at least 5 years of injection experience, currently injecting and regularly injecting in the last year. Consequences off their injection use, like health and socioeconomic costs, at least 19 years of age. And using that criteria, if we selected people that had already been using 15 years, we're setting the bar too high. If somebody has had an overdose requiring resuscitation with Narcan, 1 in 20 of those folks are going to be dead in a year. I've read that statistic coming out of the United States. And we need to be attracting people into care and engaging people in care.
What does regular, safe access to heroin mean for people? How does that change their day-to-day lives?
Well, when people start with us, on average, they've been engaged in illegal activities at least half the day out of the month, and they're injecting illicit opioids every day in the last month. And when they have had 6 months of care with us, that goes down to a handful of days a month injecting illicit opioids, and a handful of days a month engaged in illegal activities.
If these people are engaged in illegal activities for at least half the days of the month, that seems like work may be a difficult thing to have, to hold down.
So certainly when they start with us, and when people do start with, they've got a high burden of accumulated vulnerabilities. But with time, some of those ease off as people get some stability. We certainly have people who've completed training programs, school programs while they're with us. Many of our folks are working part-time, some even full-time. But to expect that people will go from years of injecting to working full-time, that is a, That's a steep climb. I think one of my colleagues, who you may have spoken to, Darwin, talks about pre-employment and opportunities to get people engaged and starting to experience work so they can get some satisfaction with that and gain some skills. I'd like to be able to offer more of that.
When did this kind of program begin in Canada?
Well, it began as a program following our Salome study, the study to assess longer-term opioid medication effectiveness. The first treatment with diamorphine or prescription heroin happened on the 28th of November, 2014, and has continued subsequently.
How is the program funded?
The program is funded through the British Columbia Ministry of Health, overseen by one of the local health authorities, Providence Healthcare. And I continue to be appreciative of the support that Providence Healthcare and the ministry provides. But this is safe, effective, cost-effective care. Better care to this population than continuing with methadone and standard oral treatments, and it reduces societal costs. So while it does require healthcare investment, when this is provided to the small number of people that require it, it reduces the burden on taxpayer.
If you were to make a pitch for this kind of program for, let's say, major cities in the United States, especially for people who are concerned very much about taxes and spending, what kind of pitch would you make?
Well, basically what I just said, diacetylmorphine and hydromorphone dominate methadone and oral treatment options in that population that continues to use illicit opioids despite attempts at the standard treatments. And if you have a new treatment that is both more effective and more cost-effective, that should be an easy decision for policy decision makers to make. It should be provided. And I can also add now from our cost effectiveness analysis paper from last year, not only does this reduce cost, provide better care, it also reduces mortality in this population compared to just continuing methadone and reduces crime, both property crime and violent crime.
Scott McDonald is the lead physician at the Providence Crosstown Clinic in Vancouver, Canada. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.